Stanley Cup playoffs are set. If you haven't been paying attention, don't worry. We got you. Michael Leboff of the Action Network in just a moment here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Even if you have been paying attention, I still think there's a ton of questions about where you go in this Stanley Cup playoff field. I tweeted out my bracket earlier, merely scribbled on a piece of paper, Joe, with some Sharpie. And I end up with a division winner on one side, actually two division winners, and someone breaking a curse of sorts. We'll get into that with Leboff in just a moment here. Lightning bets before we wrap up alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. I'm Chris Mack. We got to take a detailed look series by series at the NBA playoffs as well, which we will start in 20 minutes, starting with the East, working our way through all four series and then into the West, because those start tomorrow afternoon as well. Yeah, so much postseason action. You're going to be busy betting on all of it, and that's why we bring in an expert and an Islanders fan, which will let him slide on the latter part of that. Michael Leboff of the Action Network at the Big Lebowski on X. Morning, Michael. Thanks for taking time today. How are you?
Happy to do it. And yeah, thank you for letting that slide. Trust me, being an Islander fan is already, I get enough grief for it just by watching them on a nightly basis. So don't need any more.
Well, you guys are in the playoff field, though, and arguably the hottest team in the league. And I actually want to start there because since they went to the current playoff format in the NHL with the wild cards in each conference, a President's Trophy winner has not won the Stanley Cup. It's a curse of sorts. So we'll start there with the Islanders jumping over the wild card, getting to take on Carolina, and the other half of the Metro bracket, the President's Trophy winners, the Rangers against the Caps. Are the Rangers, with the goaltending and everything else seemingly set up in place, ready to make a deep run? And what about the other New York team, your Isles? Could they pull off the impossible and upset the Hurricanes, who seemingly did everything right at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think if we start with the Rangers, that, you know, there are a lot of people who are skeptical of the way that they got their results this season. Not to say they're a bad team, like they're clearly really good and their formula works, but their 5-on-5 goal differential this season was +1, which is, you know, right around 16th or 17th in the league. And they're very reliant on their power play and their special teams, like completely, with their penalty kills really good too, plus their goaltending. So that formula historically is tough to win with in the playoffs. You want to be a 5-on-5 juggernaut when you're going up best on best, because, you know, if you think about the regular season, it's one thing if you're rattling off wins like that against, you know, Ottawa one night, then maybe you play Carolina, then the next night you're playing, you know, another team like Columbus or something. But when you're playing the same team over and over and over again, and these teams by definition, because they got into the playoffs, are above average and to good to elite, that becomes a lot trickier to do because these teams just won't fall into that trap. So I understand the skepticism on the Rangers. I do think that Carolina deserves to be the Stanley Cup favorite and the Eastern Conference favorite ahead of them. And the fact that they have to go through that path is part of the reason why people are a little down on the Rangers compared to what you'd think with a team that won the President's Trophy. And on those Hurricanes, I think that they actually will have a little bit of a tough time with the Islanders. Like they should be a big favorite here. It's not a coin flip series by any means, but yeah, the Islanders, they had a maddening season all over the place, 6-game winning streak, 6-game losing streak, 7-game winning streak. And that was a microcosm for a lot of what Islander fans have to deal with this season. But yeah, they got their game together under Patrick Roy, especially defensively. So I think both the Hurricane, these two teams played last year in the first round, and both teams have gotten better on paper and on the ice since then. So I think that the question you're asking is, have the Islanders closed the gap at all? And I don't know if that's the case, but I don't think the gap has widened all that much, which is what these odds are saying. So I actually would bet on the Islanders if I had to pick in the series.
Mike, which first round series do you have the strongest opinion about? You know, best bet, maybe there's a few ways to bet it, but you just feel so strong about one side having the advantage, and it's a good bet where it's a bettable number.
Well, yeah, I would say I really think that people are underestimating the the gap between the goaltending and the Bruins and the Maple Leafs, and also just the gap between, like, the Bruins should be a steady ship, right? Like, they have a really good blue line. They've got two great goaltenders. This is a team that has, they might have not had much playoff success over the past couple seasons, but this is a team that really understands, like, how to manage games and big moments, when to, you know, take chances, it sounds cliche and maybe like a little old school, but just how to win. And the Maple Leafs are coming into this postseason a little banged up. The goaltending looked like it had corrected itself a couple weeks ago, and now Samsonov and Wall have both struggled. And I think that is actually a pretty big difference. So I think that with what the Bruins have, I don't mind laying the minus 125. I actually think that Boston could be a good bet to back a sweep, because I could see this going south. And if it goes south for the Leafs, it could go really south. So I guess the Bruins would be my favorite series price out there, if that's what you're asking.
Mm-hmm. Man, I feel bad for Toronto fans. You saying it could go really south can't be good news for those fans. I'm here in Washington. What's your assessment of this Caps Ranger series?
Yeah, I'm actually glad you brought it up. I maybe I'm on an island here. I think the Capitals are going to be tricky. Like, I really do. I think that this price is absolutely playable on a game-to-game basis if you don't want to play the series price, because as I was saying before, like, the Rangers play this very kind of outlier formula where they're going to rely on power plays. They're going to rely on their goalie. But they want games to be in transition. They want the puck to be going back and forth. They want both teams to be engaged in this kind of hockey. And the Caps just aren't going to do that. They're going to sit back and they're going to absorb. And the Rangers just aren't built to do that. They're not built to, like, get pucks in deep behind teams and break them down that way with, like, a forecheck and, playing more of like a lumbering style. They want to get into a seesaw battle. And Washington, you know, on paper should do everything it can to avoid getting into that. So I think it could be a pretty frustrating matchup for the Rangers. Like, it's like I said before, like, it's one thing if you're playing, you know, one team one night and then another one two nights later. But when you're playing the same team over and over again and they start to adjust to your style, like, it becomes trickier. So I think this series could be one where you see the Rangers win a couple games, like 6-1 or 5-0 or whatever. But in the end, it comes down to the business end of a series, like, goes 6 or 7 and the Rangers at least get a scare. So I like the Caps. I haven't heard much hope in them around, you know, the people I talk to that bet, but maybe I'm on an island here and I'll look stupid, but I have some faith here.
Caps almost 3-1 dogs in that series against the Rangers. Michael Leboff of the Action Network with us, trying to get us geared up for the Stanley Cup playoffs. The fields are set. Things start this weekend. Before we go west, let me ask about the Battle of Florida. How and why does it end differently this year than it had in 21 or 22? Is it just quite simply this Panthers team is more battle tested and they're ready for this? Or is it just because Tampa's too old and too far gone at this point?
I think that this series is, to me, the hardest one to predict, like, the path it's going to go down. These two teams, you got one team that is the Lightning are similar to the Rangers, right? They really want to get as many power plays as they can. They want their top line, their top six to be able to turn pucks over and engage you in rush battles and let Nikita Kucherov and Braden Point do their magic on the rush. But Florida could end up playing into that style and they could still, you know, get by, unlike Washington, right? If Washington gets into that kind of battle with the Rangers, they're toast. But so the Panthers can beat you in a number of different ways. They also take a ton of penalties, so that could end up helping the Lightning. So I think this series is one where we could see a team go up 3-1 and lose. We could see a team go up 3-0 and then have pressure put on them. I think it could go in a million different directions. Which is how I would bet it. Like, I would bet, you know, maybe be patient, wait for the first couple games to go around, wait for one of the teams to be counted out, catch a big number on them to come back. I think if it's like, you know, 3-1 Tampa or 3-1 Florida going the other way, you could find some value because, this thing has so much noise to it, especially with the atmosphere. It should be a lot of fun, but these two teams obviously don't like each other. It feels like one of those series where afterwards we're all going to be like, that was absolutely bananas. So, you know, I would think about that and use that to kind of guide your decision however you want it to do.
Yeah, in the Western Conference, you've got to start with the reigning champs, right? They're a series dog to Dallas, minus 125, BetMGM. What do you think of the price, and how would you bet this series?
Yeah, I think this is actually pretty spot on. But the Knights are really good, and they're a team that could definitely get better and better and better with each game, right? They just got Thomas Hertl into the lineup. Mark Stone should be coming back at some point. They are dangerous, but the way I'm going to play this is actually root for the Knights to go ahead of Dallas at some point in the series, like 1-0, you know, maybe 2-1 or 3-2, and then try to bet the Stars to win the Stanley Cup. Because I think out of the teams in the Western Conference, they'd be my pick, but I think the number's a little short. But if Vegas can put some pressure on them, maybe they go behind 1-0 or even 2-0 in the series, you can catch a much bigger number on Dallas than what's out there. So that's what I'm rooting for, trying to thread the needle a little bit here. But like you said, like the Knights are getting a lot of respect, but I think it's totally spot on.
Predators and my Vancouver Canucks. What is your opinion on this matchup?
Yeah, last year we saw a series between the Knights and the Jets where everybody seemed to kind of galvanize behind the underdog Jets. The entire betting industry seemed to think that they were the live underdog that was going to pull the upset. The Jets won game one, and then Vegas won the Stanley Cup, right? Like, so everyone looked was wrong, and I think we're going to see a similar situation here where a lot of people are going to circle the Predators as their favorite underdog. It makes sense. They're a good team. They were one of the best teams down this, in the second half. They've got a great goalie. They've got a true number one defenseman. But I think Vancouver is a good bet to win this. I actually think that betting this thing to go to seven games is also worth a look. We'll see how the Canucks start, right? This is their first playoff series at home. Like, they went on that bubble run, but they haven't played a home playoff series since 2015. So there's going to be, you know, some pressure, some hype, and I wouldn't be surprised if it starts a little slow for Vancouver and this turns into a real slog. So I this is one of my favorite bets to go beyond or to go to that, you know, do or die game seven.
Also out west, we've got the Avalanche not quite looking like the same Avalanche team of the last couple of years, but Nathan MacKinnon looking ready for the playoffs, 17 points in his last 10 games, Michael. Jets, though, I mean, they were the darlings last year, like you mentioned. They're probably the darlings for a lot of folks this year as well, even though they're dogs in this series. Avalanche favored in the series, minus 135. What's your read? Is it the offense of Colorado and the ability to fly up and down the ice? Is it Winnipeg slowing things down to a playoff grind?
Yeah, this is a really tough one to call, too. The depth of the Avalanche is definitely concerning, and it's been concerning for a lot of the season. And then that's, you know, playing right into the Jets' hands with the strength that they have down the lineup, their goaltending, their ability to shut you down at 5-on-5. I do think Colorado is a deserving favorite here. I'm just not going to bet them. But this is another one where I think if Winnipeg goes up, you know, 1-0, 2-0, 3-2, et cetera, there's going to be a lot of people looking to lump on the Avalanche to come back and win the series. So, I don't disagree with that. I think that betting Colorado to win from behind, perhaps at, like, you know, plus 265 out there is worth a look. But yeah, this is a tough one to call from before game one, but looks like the bookmakers probably got it right at the jump.
Michael, want to make sure we get your cup thoughts in there. How long is the list of teams where you can see them winning the whole thing? And what numbers do you like?
Yeah, I mean, before the season started, you know, I was making, like, the circuit or a lot of radio hits and such. I was kept saying, like, this was a Kentucky Derby season. I think you could make a really good case for there being 10, you know, field of 10 teams. Of course, a couple of them were, like, the Devils who didn't make it, et cetera. But I think that's still true. I think that there's still, you know, 10 teams at least that will go into this thing with Stanley Cup aspirations and legitimate ones. And of course, we remember last year, nobody thought the Knights were going to get to the Stanley Cup final. Nobody thought the Panthers were going to get to the Stanley Cup final. So when you add in that, you're like, oh God, this field can have 13 teams if you want to throw in a couple of real dark horses. So I think that you can I'd listen to anybody making a case for any of these teams, especially at the top of the board. But for me, I would predict, odds aside, Stars versus Hurricanes. And if I had to pick one bet still out there, I guess Dallas at plus 850 is still fine. But like I said, I would wait, see if you can get a better number if they fall behind.
They've broken my heart multiple times over the years, Michael, but good luck to your Isles, and we'll check back in throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. Michael Leboff of the Action Network at the Big Lebowski on X, previewing the Stanley Cup playoffs with us. We dive into the NBA playoffs. Eastern Conference side first, next right here on BetQL Daily. Down to 18 teams in the NBA, because we've got two play-in games left tonight. Bulls, Heat in the East, Kings, Pelicans in the West, and then the field of 16 will be set for the NBA playoffs. It's BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, live coast-to-coast on the BetQL Network. Wherever you may be in the world, check that Odyssey app, because that's where you can take us with you, AUDACY. It's free. Download it today. And also, how you can download us as a podcast. Anything you may have missed, Harrison Sanford's NBA angles earlier, an hour ago, Michael Leboff on the Stanley Cup playoffs just a second ago. Download it as a podcast wherever you get your podcast by searching BetQL Daily. A little bit of draft, a little bit of baseball later in the third and final hour when we hit the two-minute drill. Lightning bets before we wrap up as well. Alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski, I'm Chris Mack. You can watch the show. Twitch.tv/BetQL. And we get into the eastern side of the NBA playoff bracket now, guys. Let's go maybe in order of how these series will start, because the 8-1 Boston against the Bulls or Heat will not start until Sunday. Pacers Bucks also get started on Sunday as well. Let's start with Saturday's game ones and what we think of the series as a whole. We've talked about the series, maybe touch a bit on the game ones as well. And the first one will be 1 p.m. Eastern, Saturday afternoon in Cleveland, Cavs against the Magic. Interesting what Harrison Sanford had to say earlier. Like I said, you can download it on demand as a podcast if you missed it, about the floor spacing for Cleveland on the offensive end of the ball. And Orlando has not done much that's been very pretty this year. They've been focused defensively, though. And when they've been focused defensively, all they've really had to ask for on the offensive end of the floor is for Paolo Banchero to not even necessarily take over, although he's done that in a few games, but simply do what you need your star to do. And Banchero has been up to the task more often than not, Joe. I like the Magic in this series. We mentioned it earlier in the week. And I think they get off on the right foot in game one as well. Game one spread is 4.5 at BetMGM in favor of the Cavs. I don't think it's going to be a short series. I do think it will drag out. I think this will be a six-gamer at least. But I like the Magic in the series because Cleveland's look very disjointed in the final third of the regular season.
Minus 190 as a series price seems a bit out there. Now, I do think that the Cavs should be favorite, but minus 190, as you just mentioned, given the way that they played in the second half, Cleveland, that gives me pause. I don't want to lay minus 190, even if I do like the Cavs for the series. Now, how they performed in the second half, losing record, they were awful ATS. I mean, they were failing to cover like two-thirds of the time after the All-Star break. But there was also reason for that. It was the injuries to a few of their biggest contributors, namely Donovan Mitchell, to start with. And there were a few different guys that went down and missed times. So you could understand it to a point. Of the three series in the East that we have set, probably my weakest opinion, but I look at the lack of experience on Orlando's side, and yes, they're very strong defensively, but I don't think they can match what Cleveland can do offensively, and that's my big concern there. In the end, if we look at, okay, give me the three most talented players, four most talented players, most of them are going to be Cavs. And I understand the bitter taste that they left in our mouths at the end of the season when they were clearly tanking on Sunday. Like that's what they did, which also I don't. So what do you want? You want to win one round? Is that what you're thinking? Because with their tank, they decided we'd rather face Boston in the second round. than Miami or Philly in the first round. So I don't even know if that makes the most sense in the world. So I guess it's about winning a round. It's about getting more home playoff games for them. I think the Habs win. If I had to bet it, I would lay a game and a half and get plus money that way. Cavs win in six games or less. So -1.5 is +110. Just because they're more talented and they're more experienced. How about you, Aaron?
Man, I really want to lean Magic here. Both of these teams are pretty good defensively. I think this is an evenly matched series. I don't have a strong opinion and want to bet it like series prices. Maybe more, you know, look at props like scoring leader or something like that. It seems to be a little more wide open depending on, you know, who you think could win the series and go off. I think that's more where I would be looking. If I had to pick, I'd say Magic win it.
I like that. That makes me feel better. Aaron's on my side as far as the Magic winning the series. We'll get into some series props, series leaders at the top of the third and final hour here on BetQL Daily. It's a great point you make, though, Joe. The Cavs backing themselves into a second-round matchup if they get past Orlando with the Celtics. Good luck with that. Second series to get started on Saturday will be Saturday night, 6 Eastern, the Garden, the Knicks, the Sixers. This series, we talked about it with Harrison Sanford an hour ago, should be fantastic. I'm going to caution this. Don't get your hopes up too high for some kind of 7-game instant classic, because I think the Knicks handle this with Joel Embiid playing on one leg. And this is not Knicks. This is not Knicks fanboy betting action here, because I bet on them a lot down the stretch and leaned in on them. I just really think Jalen Brunson takes over at some point. I do. They've played well even without Julius Randle. Even once the Julius Randle news came down, they could have packed it in to a certain extent. They could be the team that backed into the fourth spot in the Eastern Conference. Instead, they stepped on the gas and they won the 2 seed, which means they won't have to face Boston until they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And they look, with Jalen Brunson when he is on, like a team that can give Boston a fight, a nasty 6 or 7 game fight in the Eastern Conference Finals. And Aaron brought it up earlier in the week. OG Anunoby may be as much of a key to this thing as anything else. When he's on the floor, they're a completely different team, Joe. You can tell me I'm crazy. I put it in yesterday. You can tell me I'm crazy. I put it in yesterday. Knicks on the series spread -1.5. They're going to take care of the Sixers in 6 or less.
Wow.
Oh, the way you were talking, I thought you were going to say sweep. Like, you've looked past Philly. You're moving on to Boston already. Like, you're not even concerned with
past Philly, the task past at Milwaukee. Hand. We're in the Eastern Conference Finals, baby.
Yeah, you're not even worried about the Sixers here. You're not worried about Joel Embiid at all.
What is that, Trace?
They will lose a game in Philly. They will lose a game in Philly and maybe even both in Philly. But this doesn't go more than 6. Not with Embiid looking the way he did the other night. He's not even 75%.
Here, I don't disagree. Here's the question, though, as he gets more time. So what? He's played 5 games since the injury. If this is an extended series, I think it will be. Unlike you, you know, for maybe a gentleman's sweep, maybe.
Knicks in 3, baby.
I'm looking at a 6 or 7 game series. So if we get to that point in the biggest games of the series, now we're talking about Embiid being back 11 or 12 games. Don't we think we're going to see a different Embiid than we saw the other night? I kind of think we do. We will. So I would lean Philly, but what I like the most is I think this is going to be an awesome series. 7 games is better than 2-1 at +220. I don't have to pick a winner. As far as series price, I don't disagree. I know it seems kind of crazy that it's 2-7, but a coin flip between these two teams and the star power on each side, I love the series, love the matchup. And I think it's going the distance, and I really hope it does.
Man, Joe, I was thinking the same thing about Embiid. Like, just getting more reps. He went under on his props the other night, but I could see him getting going. But it's kind of like the Kawhi situation. I could also see Embiid getting – the guy's always injured, right? It is possible he could re-injure, and that could affect the series too, which really has me conflicted because I want to bet on the Knicks, but Embiid is just a beast. Like, he's one of those players that is just built different. And maybe he plays through it, and maybe he gets some momentum going and can take over this series. So that's what has me a bit concerned. I might have to wait and see. You know, I feel like this is similar to how I feel about Kawhi and the Clippers. I feel like Embiid is just that wild card. I would not be surprised, like Joe said, if he gets going.
I don't blame either one of you for looking at Embiid and saying, what happens if he shakes some rust off and starts to look like Joel Embiid again? I go the other way. He's not getting any healthier. He's not getting any healthier. If he's looking creaky in the play-in game, what's he going to look like in game 6 of this series?
I mean,
get the walker out. Help him up and down the floor.
Stop it.
OG Anunoby.
He just won an MVP last season.
This is so ridiculous.
Get the diapers, the walker. It's over.
In all seriousness, though, I really do think he's not going to get any healthier. And I think that it's what leads to some serious problems for the Sixers late in this series. But I don't think it goes beyond 6. All right, Bucks, Pacers. They start Sunday night at 7 o'clock. We've gone back and forth on this, and there's compelling arguments on the Pacers' side. There really are. Harrison Sanford made some earlier. Joe, you've made some throughout the week. But, Aaron, I look at Bucks-Pacers, and as much as I want to fade the Bucks in this spot, especially without Giannis, I don't trust the Pacers at all because they have not played consistent basketball since the in-season tournament, before Christmas. I don't know if I have a bet on this series. I think it all depends on Giannis and whether he comes back during the series or not. Is this like a 2-game absence and he comes back in Indy in game 3, or is he out the entire series? But I don't trust the Pacers at all.
Well, yeah, the Pacers go as Halliburton goes. Will the real Tyrese Halliburton please stand up? And I kind of think Giannis will miss the entire series. I don't feel good about that situation either. It's such a bummer that all of these games are affected by their star players and injuries, it seems like. For me, I'm going to continue to fade the Bucks. I think Tyrese Halliburton will step up in this situation. I don't like what I see from the Bucks. I don't like that Giannis is banged up. I think it's bad. Just bad juju around this Bucks team. Give me the Pacers. I would blind bet them to the moon and fade the Bucks.
I hate the line movement that we've seen. It's crazy. It was like, what, minus 300, minus 350 when this series first was set. And as we've learned more and more about Giannis, I think Aaron's right. Who's to say we're even going to see him? What if they go down 0-2? What if they lose the first 3? Is Giannis going to come back even if he could? I'm not so sure. I like Indiana as well. They handled him.
So here's the other side. Yes. They handled him during the regular season, right?
When Giannis snapped. When Giannis was going off.
Yeah.
So
the other side of the coin is, and you make a good point. Like, what if Indy goes to Milwaukee and wins the first 2? Like, this series is over. What if it's what if they just hold serve? What if that's all the Bucks do is just hold serve, split at home, and then maybe they split in Indy too? Halliburton goes out and has a cold shooting night in game 3 or game 4. They come back to Milwaukee for a best of 3, and they haven't had Dame time yet. And Damian Lillard shows up for one of these games in a best of 3 and steals one. That's where I can still see the Bucks getting out of this thing alive somehow in a 6 or 7 game series, even without Giannis. I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't bet on either side in this series because there's so many warts on both sides. I could see the angles for both, especially Indy that you guys brought up, but I'm not counting out the Bucks even without Giannis in this series. The final Eastern Conference series we got to talk about because, well, it's an Eastern Conference series that will be played. After the play-in tonight, which we've all decided we're not watching anyway. By the way, you can vote on that at BetQL Daily on X. You can vote whether you're actually going to watch these Friday night plays.
There's a lot.
So far,
I'll be home watching these games.
Hold on. Let me check the results so far. After about, let's say, an hour of this poll being up, 64% of the voters so far, Aaron, agree with you. They will be watching the play-in games tonight. Congratulations to all of you. You're true degens, and we wrap our arms around you tonight. 36% say, no, it's a Friday night. I'm not watching.
It's the NBA playoffs. We're asking people if they're going to watch or not, and like two-thirds are like, yeah, I guess. Like, that's not a strong argument.
If the Heat somehow get past the Bulls, Joe, can they give the Celtics any kind of fight? Like, I don't see the Heat pushing it past five. I don't see the Bulls pushing it much past five either. Like, this is Celtics all the way in the first round, right?
Oh, if it's Bulls, it's a sweep. And if it's Heat, it might be five. Yeah, that's how I'm looking at it. You know, another way to bet this stuff, we'll talk about it with some props, because there's so many different angles that you can take with these theories.
We've got a ton of player props and stat leader markets to look at the top of the hour in about 25 minutes. But we take a dive into the Western Conference side of things next, right here on BetQL Daily. It's Friday, so David Dykstra busts out the Odyssey Library edition of Regulate for Hawk, flashing the West Side. It is BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Speaking of which, time to look at the Western Conference side of the NBA playoffs. We've got props, stat leaders for some series, some angles we like there, some ideas that Harrison Sanford gave us a little bit earlier as well in the show. That's coming up in 20 minutes here on BetQL Daily. Two-minute drill, which will go in a couple different directions, including the draft and baseball. Lightning bets as well, which will be all over the place before we wrap up the show. Anything you may have missed, including that conversation with Harrison Sanford back in the 9 a.m. Eastern hour, or Stanley Cup playoff looks with Michael Leboff of the Action Network. Download us as a podcast. Start following inside your Odyssey app, AUDACY. Let's start again. We'll go chronologically as the series start to tip off across the Western Conference. 3:30 in the East, 2:30 Central, 12:30 Pacific tomorrow afternoon. Suns, T-Wolves in the Western Conference. We've been back and forth on this one a lot because, well, we've looked at it for weeks now. Which veteran team are the T-Wolves and the Thunder going to draw in the first round and get bounced early by? And, you know, Harrison brought up the point earlier, Joe. It is a matchup problem, the Suns, for the T-Wolves. But I've started to come around on this one and wonder to myself, A, how healthy will the Suns be throughout this series? That's always a big question. And B, at a certain point, the T-Wolves have to grow up. And maybe this is the opportunity they've been waiting for to grow up. And maybe this is the series. I think it's a total toss-up. I think this may be, you know, we're all looking at Clips, Mavs. We'll get into that in a couple of minutes. We're talking Knicks, Sixers, perhaps some great series in the first round. I think this one low-key could be the best series of the entire first round in the NBA playoffs.
Huh. I wouldn't hate that. I see where you're coming from. I just, the more and more I look at this matchup, the more and more I like Phoenix. I'm on the side that we've had the movement. We're out to minus 130 BetMGM as a series favorite. Now, are there reasons to be concerned in addition to health? Yes, there are. Like, they've been pretty bad on the road. That's been a problem all season. They have failed to close games throughout the year. So that concerns me. It was a 3-0 sweep in the regular season, for whatever that's worth. But it was also Phoenix, like, winning by double digits. Mm-hmm. The matchup problem is real. Now, are you going to bet on the elite defense? That's it. That's, like, kind of your argument with Rudy Gobert leading the way. Thing is, how are the Suns going to beat you? They're going to beat you on the perimeter. It's not with the bigs. So matchup-wise, against certain teams, the T-Wolves would have a huge advantage. But as far as this specific matchup, that's why I think it's a good point. Like, I don't really know that this is the spot. I'm going to take the Suns. Look, they're minus 130 for a series price. If you want to go minus a game and a half, if you want to take Suns at five, I don't hate it. I could see what you threw out there about this being a great series, a long series, but I side with the Suns the more and more I look at it.
I feel the same way as Joe. I mean, the offensive star power that the Suns have, the experience, you put it all together. These guys have been playing together for a while now, and I know they've been inconsistent, but the playoffs are a different animal in the NBA. And Chris Finch, you know, mentioned it at the top of the segment. Haha, I mean, Chris Mack, pretending to be Chris Finch, talking about the Wolves growing up. I don't know. I just think in this situation, the pressure is on this young T-Wolves team. I think they're going to be up against it. Looking at the series spread and series prices, I kind of think I would rather just bet game to game. Like, Suns game one, be on that side, see how it goes. I think the Suns are the right side of it. But I know people who I respect who bet the T-Wolves preseason to go to the finals at like 35-1. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do go on a deep run, but I think my strategy would just be to take this one game by game.
Game one, Suns are getting a point and a half at BetMGM 2 in some spots in Minnesota. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, 8:30 Eastern, 6:30 in the Rocky Mountains, 5:30 Pacific, Lakers Nuggets game one. We talked with Harrison earlier about this one. How do the Lakers put up a fight against this Nuggets team? Good point by him. This Nuggets team not quite as deep as last year's squad. Lakers getting 7.5, Aaron, in game one tomorrow night. That is a big number. But look, the Nuggets are a clear favorite in this series for a lot of reasons. There are reasons some people were talking about the Lakers essentially throwing the first play-in game to try and work their way into the 8th seed instead of getting the 7th seed and having to go to Denver. I like the Nuggets in the series. I like them in less than 7, definitely. Probably in 5, maybe 6. But 7.5 in game one is a number that, I don't know, Lakers feeling a little inspired. I think it's a close game one before Denver starts to take over this series late.
Gosh. I was looking at some alt spreads. Nuggets minus 1.5 is minus 168, but something like that feels about right. I mean, the Lakers almost lost that play-in game. So I don't know what they're going to do in Denver, but I don't feel great about it. 7.5 feels about right. I bet LeBron could have a couple good games in this series, but it's still the Denver Nuggets, and they've got Jokic, and I just think the Lakers will be up against it. I'm actually glad they're running into the Nuggets. This has become quite the rivalry because of how hard these two teams played each other last year. I like the trash talk. I think it'll carry over. But at the end, I think this is the Nuggets who will win this series, Joe.
Yeah, I've been taking a look at the correct score that you can do. And one betting angle is, you know, what most people naturally do is, oh, they'll win it at home. They'll win it at home. But if you have a team winning it on the road, you get so much more value. So, like, I've been going back and forth. Do I want to do a Nugget sweep or do I want to do Nuggets in 6? Because those are plus 450, plus 440 prices, as opposed to only plus 230 for the Nuggets in 5 for a gentleman sweep. So I'm like, is it 4 or is it 6? That's one way that I'm considering attacking it. It's definitely Nuggets, and it's a matter of, will the Lakers get any games? That's kind of where I'm at. They have just smashed them of late. What are they, 8-game winning streak now against them? It's going to be the Nuggets. I don't see any way this gets pushed to 7, so I'm considering a flat-out sweep.
Yeah, it's 8 in a row in Denver, I think. Last time the Lakers won in Denver was this 2 years ago. So
will they take a home game? I don't know.
I would
lean sweep.
I honestly think the Lakers, I don't want to say the Nuggets aren't prepared for this. They are. They've been here more than enough times. But I wonder if that leads to sort of a false sense of security at home in the first two games. And maybe they drop one at home in the first two, Then they go to LA and, like I said, really sort of assert their dominance. And that's where I come away with them closing it out in five. You're right. There is the angle to them closing it out on the road in six, which I don't hate either. And the number, like you said, Joe, is really good. It is going to be an interesting series to watch. I don't think it's going to be as much of a rout as I initially did. I don't think it's a four-game sweep, but definitely on the Nuggets for the series. What a lot of us think may be the best series in the first round. I know I just talked up T-Wolves Suns, but this one is going to be fun too. Mavs Clippers, 3:30 Eastern tip on Sunday, 12:30 Pacific. Give me Luka. Give me Kyrie. Give me the way they've played for the last 2.5 months against a Clippers team that you don't know about Kawhi and his availability. And even if he is available and able to play, I still don't know about this team as a whole and their big three coming together in crunch time, Joe.
I don't know what to do here. Like, Dallas is a team that I've liked throughout the regular season. And then it felt like confirmation bias with when they were going on that run late in the second half, like a ridiculous run. And Luka and Kyrie just dragging that team along. But now we're here, and it's the Clippers, and we don't know about Kawhi. But what if you get playoff Kawhi and the other star power that they have? We know the ability, the ceiling of this of the Clippers. So that's the part that concerns me a bit. I'm at the point where this is it's my favorite first-round matchup as far as unpredictability and just the amount of star power that we have on the court. I go seven games. This thing's going the distance. I do think we see Kawhi at some point. That's the route I would go at +230.
Yeah. I mean, I think the live betting angle that we talked about earlier in the show, just to see how Kawhi is, like maybe with James Harden, Paul George, Kawhi, if he can, you know, get some injections and be good to go. It's hard to say. I would rather just plug my nose and bet the Mavericks because I don't feel strongly about the Clippers, but maybe that's the play to find some value on this series, just going the distance if Kawhi does end up being impactful in this series.
Yeah, I love what Dallas did at the deadline to protect the rim, everything they've done down the stretch, how they've played. Huge on the Mavs here. I do think it's going to be a good series. It's not to imply it's going to be like a five-game series or something crazy like that, but I do have major questions about Kawhi and his health, as you guys mentioned, and again, how those big three come together when it comes down to, could James Harden or Paul George steal a game? Could Kawhi steal a game? Sure. Could the three of them come together and make this thing a seven-game series win even? Yeah, that's definitely, with game seven at home, a possibility, but I've seen too much from Dallas down the stretch, forget just down the stretch, the entire second half of the season, really. Luka has been a wagon. Kyrie, since coming back, has looked really good as a compliment to him. And like I said, they've done a lot to change the way they play at the rim, especially on the defensive end of the floor. What do we think about some player prop angles, some scoring leader angles, rebounds, assists, three-pointers? We dive into all of those markets for some of these first round series. 2-minute drill on the way when we'll take another look at the NFL draft, now just 6 days away, and the weekend around MLB as well. And lightning bets before we wrap up here on a Friday alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski. I'm Chris Mack. You're locked into BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.